Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Batman in Review. That's right. We've spent the last, 11, 12 weeks ranking and reviewing every theatrically released Batman movie. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Greg Miller.
Hello.
Nick Scarpino.
Were we supposed to wear glasses today? Are we cosplaying glasses? Why is Kevin dressed like John Lennon? What's happening?
I saw we could do the whole top line. I'll take him off. Sorry.
No, I like him.
No, well,
then you got to get off the top line. Get off the top.
Get
line.
Off the fucking. Get back in the bottom line.
Came up there and put me and Andy, the glasses boys, as we call ourselves down
the
low.
Glasses, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Got my Tim Diesel glasses.
Oh, there they are.
Shit! Fuck! Now there it's a complete. Kevin, now you got to put him up next to Andy, and you got to go. Kevin, put yourself in the recycling bin.
We also have Andy Cortez.
Hey, everyone.
This is exciting time. Oh, there we go.
It's just Nick who doesn't want to wear glasses.
There we go.
I got my Oculus
He'll do anything to fit in. He'll do it.
He got his Oculus Rift. That was pretty good. That was a good pull, Nick.
Kinda Funny's Batman in Review. We are live here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We are then later on youtube.com/kindoffunny and roosterteeth.com. If you want to listen to this podcast, you can search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Reviews, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go, just like our Patreon producers, James Davis, at James Davis Makes, Andrew Feisner, Jeremy the Zook, Zuccarello, and the Simply Sassy crew, who recently had Nick on. So if you want to watch that episode of their show, go check it out. That's a fact, correct?
That is a fact. I did go on there. It is live. It's a good episode.
Very cool stuff. This is going to be the first in review episode we've done in a very long time. We did one for Marvel. We did one for Spider-Man. We did one for X-Men. There's enough Batman stuff here, specifically with all of the podcasts within a podcast, that we thought a couple weeks ago. It's not time yet, Greg.
Let's go. Give me these boys in their tighties and get them out there. Let's talk about these Robins.
We got so many podcasts with their podcast to get through, and that's exactly what we're going to be doing. We reviewed all the movies. If you want to watch those, check them out on the YouTube channels and all the different places you can go. But this is us giving our personal rankings and going into all the podcasts with their podcast. We'll discuss as a group, filling in all the holes that we've somehow missed.
And I don't know about that wording, Tim.
The amount of notes that
how
I
many
have,
holes
the
are you fill today?
Oh, we're filling at least 13 holes.
Wow, yeah,
it's pretty impressive, right? I'm excited about it.
Are we going to fill holes? We're going to plug holes, because those are two separate things.
I mean, what do you?
I don't like that the mechanic references are still coming in.
Greg's out there.
Nobody knows about AutoZone.
Would you like to explain AutoZone, Nick?
No, it's just first off, I just wanted everyone to get in the zone, the AutoZone, with me before this podcast. Greg was there already. Kevin was there already. Andy just bringing up the fucking back, and then Tim's out there, infamous cops playing. Anyway, I look over at Greg, and he's wearing these glasses that make him look like he's changing oil at a fucking Jiffy Lube.
They do wear the goggles to protect their eyes.
They do.
They do. They do. Oh, man. And also, God bless our sponsors, MeUndies, Manscaped, and Blue Chew, but we'll talk about that later. I want to start this off, Kev, if you can bring it up.
I'm sorry. Is that too early? No. It's too early. We're going to get there. That's Bobby Day.
What? Kev, if you can bring up the final group rankings of Batman. This is what we decided on every week. We voted, and we fell with number one, The Dark Knight. Number two, Batman Begins. Number three, The Dark Knight Rises. Number four, Batman 1989. Number five, Lego Batman. Number six, Joker. Number seven, Mask of the Phantasm. Number eight, Batman Returns. Number nine, Batman Forever. Number 10, Batman and Robin. Number 11, Batman 66. And number 12, Catwoman. So there you go. That is, will forever be etched in the annals of history.
Forever young.
But for some new stuff here, we're going to go one by one, go through our rankings. Kev, let's start with you.
Ooh.
You want to start with me? All right.
I do. You're at the top left of the screen. It feels right.
Here we go. I for whatever reason, saved as a GIF, not a PNG. So sure. I don't have cool transparent effect there. Yeah. Dark Knight, obviously, that's number one. I mean, if that's not on your list as number one always, you're an idiot.
But you went softy.
He went softy?
What?
He likes Kevin, to be you like... go softy in the middle of some
What? Who went soft? What?
Nick, how's he going to plug holes?
Let's plug some holes. We'll get Kevin. We'll move Kevin from a softy to a hardy. What are we? Dude, what are you guys talking about?
The GIF thing.
Oh, GIF, GIF. Yeah, oh. You did say it properly. You did say it properly.
Anyways, GIF, well, I mean, that's how the creator said it. So
yeah,
and we don't have to get in that argument. But you know what I mean.
For the longest
time, God said this place called Earth. We all call it Earth. You know what I'm saying?
I thought you guys were referring to the G in the Dark Knight. I was like, is it
properly? I was like, how did that Night. Night.
The Dark Knight.
All right. Batman Begins, which, shocking. Honestly, this is blows my mind. It's just so much better than I remember or wanted to give it credit for. And then Dark Knight Rises. It's better than all you guys want to give it credit for. Except for that one death scene. That was bad. But whatever.
Talia.
Yeah. God, it was terrible.
Great, man.
Batman 89 really holds together. One of the best Batmans, you know? The portrayal from What's-His-Face. Just fantastic. That's it, Michael Keaton.
Nailed it.
Great movie. Can't remember anyone.
I don't remember the name. You know what I'm saying, right? The guy that fucking Tim hates.
What's-His-Face.
Mask of Phantasm again. Didn't realize that. When did that happen? It was right before before the animated or during the animated?
During right? Animated. I think it was like season two or season
wild.
Two.
Wild. Didn't know it was I hadn't seen it in a long time. Maybe I've never seen it. I think I'd seen it once before. Anyways, very impressed by it. Then we got Batman Returns. Shocking how much this there's a huge space between these two movies. Batman Returns, nowhere near what Batman 89 was. Sad. What are you going to do? Then after that, Batman.
Can't do anything, Kev.
Can't do nothing. Lego Batman. I once again fell asleep at the end of this movie. I didn't tell you guys about that. Missed the last like 20 minutes. That's my bad. I don't know. It just doesn't grab my attention. Joker sucks. It paints mental health in a terrible way. That's just facts, guys. And then the other movies, who gives a damn? Catwoman is at the end. That's really the most important
that's what
thing.
To you.
Catwoman is utter
Batman.
Trash. Batman. Batman 66.
I'm so happy we started with Kevin.
That's great. Can we also end with Kevin? Can we have a go through this?
Meow.
It's crazy to think Batman 66 got made. You know what I mean? Like that was a show and that people paid to build all the sets because it's not good.
They did.
Yeah.
One of the sets was a pier.
Yeah.
All right. Eddie.
But hold on, I wasn't done. Real quick, just quick shout outs to that one scene where they're fighting Mr. Freeze and he takes them up into a rocket. So they're going to freeze to death. And they shoot out of the walls and they use the boards snowboard. To kind of skateboard, mm-hmm. snowboard so down bad. Down the sky. So shout out to the scene.
They're surfing in the sky, Kevin. It's such a weird scene, man. What a weird sequence. It's a very weird sequence. My list, Kevin has it. I don't know. You know. There we go. I feel like a lot of our lists may not differ too much, save for maybe one or two movies. My first three are the same as Kevin's. Dark Knight, Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises. Lego Batman I have in at number four. Just a joy, an all-around joy for me to watch. Forgot how much I liked it. I think it you know, so much of the comedy hit for me. It's so goofy. Batman 89, my first full time watching all of it now as an adult. And I enjoyed it. I think it sort of sets that tone for what we get with even like some of the Schumacher movies, for better or for worse, mostly for worse. Joker, Joaquin Phoenix is brilliant, coming in at number six, but I still think it kind of has a little, it still tries to be too edgy for me in some parts. But yeah, I think Joaquin Phoenix's performance still has me, ranking at least that high at number six. Number seven, Batman Returns. Penguin, man. Penguin. Cool. It's a cool guy.
Danny cool DeVito. Guy.
Good performance. It was fun. I think the Rogue here kind of was standout for me. The Rogue's Gallery, for those of y'all, for the uninitiated. Mask of Phantasm comes in at number eight. I don't know. We said it a million times. I said it a million times. Just was not the movie that I thought it was. It was pretty underwhelming for me watching it that most recent time. Batman Forever above Batman and Robin, so that's 9 and 10 Forever, and then Batman and Robin number 10. I like Jim Carrey's performance, for as wonky as goofy as it is. And then Clooney at number 10 just was not good at all. Just did not want to be there at all. And you got to understand that he was going into this role probably assuming big things. And then the whole movie, it's like, wow, this isn't even George Clooney. This is just like some guy who does not want to be here right now. And then, I mean, there's so much dumb shit between 9 and 10. There's so much, like, Kevin, you're laughing at the surfboard scene. I always just like have a laugh at Chris O'Donnell doing gymnastics to get into the Batcave.
So
like,
dumb.
It's such an involved sequence that happens. it's so fucking dumb.
You can tell they wrote that sequence first. They were like, this is going to be the one, man. This is it. We'll write a whole movie around this one.
Number 10 should honestly sometimes maybe be lower than Catwoman at number 12, because I hate the silver suits at the end, the silver and black suits. They're so overly designed.
The sonar suits?
Yeah, they're so overly designed.
We were fine with it. We were like, it's fine. And Andy just had this like, this is the hill he's gonna die on with these sonar.
Those are suits that I would like make my own Batman original content as a kid, and that's how I would draw them as a kid. Like, it's
Andy, the thing you don't realize is, and Greg, you can back me up on this.
Sure can.
If you're going to be the Dark Knight, if you're going to go out there and fight crime at night, nothing screams subterfuge more than a bright silver suit. You don't understand, Kevin. This is science. You can back me up on this. Silver refracts light, so you can't see anything.
People think it's the moon.
Exactly.
You're confused. A lot of dumb kids.
Two moons? What?
The villains.
People think it's the moon.
You ever heard those things where like people, they almost drowned because they were swimming down instead of up? They were so turned around. That's what happens. Kirks don't know if the sky is above them or below them. They see two moons.
That's why, Andy, if you ever get stuck in an avalanche, make a circle, spit, and see which way the spit goes. Dig that way. Wait, the opposite.
Wait, what just happened?
How do people spit? Swim down?
Because they get vertigo, they get turned around. They don't know which way is up.
Oh, okay. So it has nothing to do with the moon.
No.
You see the moon up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you can see the moon, you can probably go toward that. Greg's mixing up the fact that the moon reflects off of water and also the fact that the moon's in the sky.
Kevin makes a great point, though.
Either of those things up.
Why did I make a good point?
This fucking show, guys. I swear to God. You get it?
Anyway, Batman 66, 11. It was just dumb. Dumb-ass movie. And number 12, an even dumber-ass movie, was Catwoman. Just an all-around travesty.
It's insane.
Just a blight on Hollywood. Like a fucking... That will go down as one of the infamous days that, you know, our planet got dumber.
Great.
Yeah. Great.
Terrible movie.
I can't believe that movie got like made, and then someone saw what they made and were like, yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah.
And then five guys on the internet were like, you know what? We're going to talk about it.
Dude, on paper, the movie sounds kind of fun. Like Halle Berry is Catwoman. Benjamin Bratis is like love interest. You got Sharon Stone in it as well as the bad guy. But man, it just, somebody forgot to make a movie somewhere in there. They were just like, oh, again, it's one of those things where like the movie, the whole, you can tell they were drinking at a bar and someone's like, we got to do this Catwoman movie. Yeah. What if? I'm just throwing this around. What if we base the whole movie around this wacky basketball sequence? And the guy's like, yeah, let's have another cocktail or 10, and we'll write this fucking right.
Do you remember when Sharon Stone fell out the building?
Yes. Yes.
So bad.
Force just took her. Some poor VFX guy was like, I don't think that. The guy was like, it was one of those things. It was like me arguing with Kevin. Where I'm like, Kevin's like, no, that is physically accurate. And I'm like, it might be physically accurate.
It looks awful.
You have to think that they like, they dropped the dummy and they had one drop they could do. And they're like, that's the take.
We'll fix it in post.
Probably. That's probably.
No one got that memo. Kev, can you bring up Greg's list, please?
I mean, it's in Comic Sans.
Yeah. I didn't have the font Andy needed me to use. So I looked too, and I didn't see the thin version of it. I just saw the bold version of it. So
this looks good.
I thought Comic Sans was the easiest way to fix it.
Nine. Dark Knight Rises is 9. All right.
I knew there was going to be some bullshit with Greg's list, not with the list itself, but like actually with how the list looks. And I appreciate this. I mean, did think there was going to be more references to Nick in some derogatory fashion. But
I mean,
you know,
I take this very seriously. Get. All right,
I'm shocked you didn't like it.
I'm not going to besmirch Daddy on this show like that.
Thanks,
Daddy. There is a thread on Slack, a pin thread that has all the fonts that we all use that I took a lot of time to kind of gather up. But yeah.
You did a great job, Andy.
What I want you to know is like, but I put into Slack, I put in the search box, Gold Pro, whatever the fuck it was, thin. All right, mm-hmm. And then it just came up with Gold Bro or whatever the fuck it was, but it didn't show. There was no thin version of it.
So usually when you install it, it does the other ones. The other versions.
But why would I have a bold version then if not in the thin version?
Because you're a bold man, Greg. You're not a thin man. You're
like
bold.
Your list.
I use the font channel all the time. All right. I make a thumbnail here or there. I'm out there. I've done a thing or two. All right. So I appreciate your work. Today we were in a jam. You know what I mean? Tim said the show's gonna be later. I thought it was gonna be noon. I tried to book a call, then I got a little thing. Oh, it's time to go. I was like, oh fuck. I didn't have time to dig through the fonts folder.
Did you finish that break job though on that 98 Cutlass Supreme?
Dude, that Cutlass has seen some better days. All right, don't even get me started on the donut it's driving. Hello, everybody. Welcome to my list.
I want you to walk up to me with like the greasy latex gloves, and you're like, we're gonna need another hour with that. I'm sorry.
I understand, and you know that. I want you to think about that because it's gonna play another Kind of Funny podcast tomorrow when I bring a topic to the table. For now, though, let's talk about my list, aka the hard truths. Number one, The Dark Knight at number one. Come on, what a fantastic film. Now, number two was the first hard choice I had to make already. Was it gonna be Batman Begins or was it gonna be Batman 89? Because again, you know, we have fun on this show. We go back and forth. What are we voting on? Are we voting on the best Batman movie? Are we voting for a movie we enjoyed more? Then to get here and have my list, right? It's gonna be fun times. So I will tell you right now that Batman Begins is a better interpretation of Batman and a more true source material. I just like Batman 89 more. And I think that's where I'll let the nostalgia leak through the cracks, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, sure, you know, how cool it was to see an all-black Batman, how great Jack Nicholson is in that role. Just in general, how much fun that world is, how good Kim Basinger is, how awesome the Batmobile was. All the different things you know and love from 89 Batman is why I put it there. However, of course, I think in the real vote, I voted Begins above it, and I wouldn't change that. But here for my fun list, 89 for number two, number three, Batman Begins. Number four, Joker. Again, this is where you get into this thing we were talking about last week of like, well, it's a great film, but is it a good Batman movie? And like, push back and forth. Kevin, stop rolling your fucking eyes, all right?
It's not a
like a pissed off sumo wrestler over there. All right, nobody wants to hear your shit.
Raz Grizz in the chat says Greg's list is a physical representation of his Joker laugh.
It's true. It's accurate. But again, Joker, a movie I don't ever need to see again. I didn't need to see it again this last time around, but watching it again, I do really enjoy the film, so I put it there at number four. Batman Returns, I put it at number five. Again, a movie that's not really, I think, about Batman as much as it is about his rogues gallery and stuff, but still a fun ride. Still nice to go back to the Burton universe. I think Michelle Pfeiffer and Danny DeVito are awesome in it. Number six, Mask of the Phantasm. Again, this is one I would have come in telling you I was going to put it way higher, that I was thought, you know, how much I love the animated series. I just don't think does the animated series justice, or probably it's just I'm, you know, have such rose colored glasses for all the animated series being a kid watching it at the time. I thought Phantasm just fell short and I wasn't thrilled with it. Then number seven and number eight, obviously controversial picks. Number seven, Batman Forever. Number eight, Batman and Robin. Obviously wasn't stoked to watch either of these again when we started Batman in Review, but had fun with them. And granted, Batman and Robin, I had fun with laughing at it. Batman and Robin, you obviously laugh, or Batman Forever, you laugh at it too, like the stupid gymnastics to get down into the Batcave like Andy was talking about. But still enjoying it, having fun and making fun of it with you guys. Number nine, the abomination that is The Dark Knight Rises, just such a waste of potential. I mean, it's got the Spider-Man 3 vibes to it, you know what I mean, of how great this movie should have been and how not great it is and how much I did not enjoy it. Number 10, Batman 66, which was a slog to get through. Number 11, Lego Batman, which I just still can't. It's just not even a bit. Just don't understand how people like it. And then number 12, of course, Catwoman, which is just a terrible movie. But a fun movie all the same.
Terrible list. What an awful list.
Fucking Catwoman, man.
This is the worst list I've ever seen.
Mine.
It better not be worse than this fucking trash list that we just pulled up.
Next week, we're going to do a Batman in Review interview where we just rank each other's lists. So number one, I mean, honestly, I don't even need to go through my rankings. They are very similar to the actual rankings with a couple rare exceptions here. I put Batman 89 way low at number 10.
Wow.
Underneath everything with the exceptions of 66 and Catwoman. I don't get what people like about the movie.
You liked Batman anything... and Robin more? Wow.
Yeah.
This is what we deal with. This is what we deal with.
It goes to what Greg was just saying about the potential and what Greg was talking about with Dark Knight Rises, which I do agree with, where it's like, if I was talking about biggest disappointments, Dark Knight Rises would be the number one biggest disappointment. But I still think that it did a lot right. Whereas with Batman 89, I just feel like all the potential of how, when you look at the poster, it looks so fucking cool. And then you watch the movie and it just doesn't add up to me. I don't like Michael Keaton at all. Batman Returns is my favorite of the 90s.
He doesn't like you either.
I'm sure he doesn't. I like Michael Keaton. I want that clear. I don't like Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne.
As Batman.
He still doesn't like him.
Did you like him as Vulture?
I loved him as Vulture.
Okay, where would you put Spider-Man Homecoming on this list?
Spider-Man Homecoming?
Ooh, man, that's real tricky. That's real tricky. Number two,
I put it at number three. Number three.
Damn, that's good. That's Batman
Begins is fucking fantastic, man.
But Homecoming was fucking great.
So the thing for me is like Batman Returns is my favorite of the 90s movies. And I just like the campiness of that movie worked for me more than the others. Having said that, it's not good. None of these are good. Like there's a drop off point that I think is debatably under Joker. I'm like, none of these are really that great. And like Joker's the one that I'm like, it's pretty damn good. But Lego Batman and above, I think, are in a totally different tier. But yeah, it's just 89 for me. Just I wish I got it and I don't at all. Batman 66 is, you know, echoing kind of what everyone's saying. It's like, whatever. It was a thing for the time, but like not doesn't feel like a movie. It's so old that it just doesn't hold up at all. And God, Catwoman, I'm just so happy it's on the list. I'm happy I watched it. I had never seen it before, and it really is as bad as people say. So shout out to you, Catwoman. You did something. You lived up to expectations.
For a second here, I thought we were going in clockwise, and I saw Batman 89 so low. I was like, Nick, no way.
Oh, no.
Speaking of Nick, Kev, can you bring up his list?
You know, ironically, I don't have his. Give me 1 second. Sorry.
How's that feel, Nick? How's that stick in your craw?
It sounds about right. It sounds about right for a Monday.
Did you send it?
I did, yeah. It should be an asset.
I can talk you through it real quick. There's a moment that I just need to call out from when we did Lego Batman. And I was like, you know what? The jokes in this movie, it's like, oh, this is what Robot Chicken could be if Robot Chicken was super awesome. And Kevin was like, you don't like Robot Chicken? Why not? And I was like, Kevin, how can you love Robot Chicken but not this? Like, this is the better,
Robot Chicken
much better
is
version
like,
of that.
No, Robot Chicken is – I mean, it's the thing is, I can understand if you saw Robot Chicken like 2 years ago, you being like, ah – because it was very much current stuff, you know?
Yeah. Robot Chicken's awesome. I watched the Star Wars Robot Chicken over the weekend.
So good. Blue Heart. Wait,
so good. It's Papa Palps. Let's go.
Yeah, but Nick, for the most part, it's like my problem with Robot Chicken is like it's very like low-hanging fruit. All the jokes are very so easy.
But
like,
this Lego Batman was low-hanging fruit, but for like little kids.
No, Nick, but good.
Nick, let's look at your list.
Kicking it off my list, number one, The Dark Knight. I was going to move that down a little bit and put Batman 89 above it, but I couldn't do that in good conscience because it is just such a groundbreakingly amazing movie. But then I was like, you know what, though, I can do, Greg? I can put Batman 89 number two.
Right there with you, Daddy.
Now, here's the thing about this, guys. Does it belong at number two above Batman Begins? No. Batman Begins is a much better Batman movie. It is well more thought out. It has a character arc with a character that actually matters. Having said all that, go get fucked, Batman 89, number two. That's where I'm putting that on the list. That's where it's staying. That is our official list.
This is Nick with Fast and Furious 1. Like, there are better movies since it, but it's like, it's the first one, man.
The thing is, a lot of this, the way I kind of structured this list, at least the top five, was just movies that I thought were unique and did something different and new with Batman. And so obviously The Dark Knight showed us all how seriously and how cool of a story and intricate of a story you could tell with a Batman franchise. 89 just has to hold a special place in my heart. You guys probably, you know, I think Greg hit the nail right on the head with just the nostalgia factor. But growing up in the 80s and having just sort of a complete and total drought of anything creative like this, and then seeing Batman come out and having it be that phenomenon and that spectacle film really stuck with me over the years. And I think that's why when I go back and watch it, I obviously am bringing a ton of nostalgia in, but I just remember how important and amazing that was for the time to see a Batman of that caliber come to fruition and have it be one of my favorite directors of the time, which is Tim Burton, and have it be this weird, zany, messed up kind of comic booky cartoonish thing happening. I still, to this day, I love watching it. I love watching a lot of the action set pieces, and I like watching a lot of the stuff they were able to do during that time period. I'm sorry, I lost you there. But you know, obviously, again, this is that's thrilled or fueled 80% with nostalgia. But I'll defend that to the day I die. Number three, Batman Begins. Just
Tim Gettys from kindoffunny.com. I see you have a question for Nick Serafino.
I do have a question for Nick. So talking about the nostalgia and stuff of Batman 89 and with Ninja Turtles coming out a year later, I think in 1990. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen Ninja Turtles in my adult life.
Yeah.
And I have an intense nostalgia for that movie that I would probably relate to your nostalgia for Batman 89. Sure. I am wondering if we were to rewatch Ninja Turtles, if it would hold up. But before that, my question to you is Ninja Turtles a good movie?
Ninja Turtles was a serviceable film from what I remember. And I remember thinking, because I was a big Ninja Turtles fan back in the day because of the cartoons. And so when they decided to make the movie, I was like, I can't wait for this. It was weird. It was a little off-putting. And I didn't love their choice of casting for April. But it was, I mean, I remember, I think I watched it maybe once in the theaters, and then I watched it a ton of times when it came to VHS. But it didn't hold the same value to me as 89 Batman did. I don't know if Greg can comment on
that. Yeah, what about, like, Greg, what's up with that?
So what's the, if I think Ninja Turtles is a good movie?
Yeah, is TMNT on, is the 90s
one? I think Batman 89 is better than TMNT, but I haven't watched TMNT since I was a child.
Okay.
To me, that was just nothing cooler than Raph being, like, dark and pissed off.
Sure. Remember when they hide in the bathroom by getting up on the top of the tub? They're above the tub, like holding themselves up. Casey Jones.
Splinter.
Remember the little city of like, what? Probably like teens, like early teens. They were all smoking and skateboarding. This looks so cool.
You're talking about Free Willy. Anyways, on to your list, Nick.
Going back to my list, number three, Batman Begins. I feel like, what's that?
That's just a similar scene.
Copy. Batman Begins. I feel like Nolan really kind of as a reset point after all of the just the sort of misses of the Schumacher era. I feel like Nolan came in and said, hey, everyone, Batman's amazing. It is the top comic book property. We're going to do it justice by actually telling a cool story here. And so I think that's very influential and important. Lego Batman, I put it number four just because of the sheer fun factor of it and the creativity that I feel went into that. And that, again, represents just something different that they could do with the genre. I mean, it's a comedy. It's a slapsticky comedy. It's silly, but it really, really gets me every single time. And I've seen it three times now, and every time I see it, I laugh at different little parts of it and catch different little things they put in there. So I like it a lot. And then rounding out my top five, I put Joker simply because, again, I think in the same vein as the ones that came before, it did something new. It did something incredibly kind of impactful for me. And it proved once again that the comic book genre is a lot deeper and a lot couldn't be a lot more meaningful than just the surface level stuff that they've done before. Number six, I put Dark Knight Rises there just because I enjoy that film. And I think it's I like that. It's, you know, to me, it's a lot like Return of Jedi, where you're like, you know, it's not the best in the trilogy by any stretch of the imagination, but I like how everything kind of wraps up. I like what they were going for. They didn't quite nail some of it, and some of it's a little bit loose and could have used another probably script revision or two. But I did like some of the hype moments in that, and specifically the last moment where, you know, the kids are on the bus, and this is one that always gets me, where he's like, it's happening. One of the kids goes, no, it's Batman. Fuck yeah, it's Batman. Everyone can stuff their saris in a sock. He's going to fucking Florence right now. He's going to drink some Fernet Blanc with his wife. Let's be honest, that relationship lasted approximately 15 days. Then she was like, I'm bored. I'm moving on. Plus, everyone knows who Bruce Wayne is. They'd be like, "Why? I thought you were fucking dead." No, it doesn't matter.
They deleted his information. They put it in the computer, hit Bruce Wayne.
He's only a memory. Delete it from everyone's brains. He's one of the most famous people on the planet. It's like if Donald Trump would just be like, I want to delete all my stuff.
Yeah, but like, I'm sure it changed all the image. So you look up Bruce Wayne and it kind of looks like him. Some dude that looks a little different, you know?
He was a recluse. He had gone away for like, 9 years or whatever? He was a recluse. Nobody knew what he looked like anymore. He's gone.
So in Kevin's world, his images are slightly changed so that there's just a ton of people like at restaurant tables next to him looking at him like, I think that's Bruce Wayne. It's like, no, Google it. They're looking at, no, that's not him. That's definitely not him.
It's slightly different.
But that's what we did with Gerard Butler. You know what I mean? That looks like an old Gerard Butler. That was him.
It's true. But there are people still in the reality of this world that they've built that know Bruce Wayne. That's like if I saw Andy at a fucking Taco Bell and he was like, I'm not Andy. I'm like, you're fucking Andy.
Google it, man. There's not enough people.
Can you imagine like, You sit down, you start scrolling through your phone and you look up and I'm there and like drinking a Baja Blast. And I'm like,
Oh man, going down pretty much 7 to 12. I didn't spend too much time thinking about Mask of the Phantasm again. I think to mirror what everyone else said, I remember that movie being a lot better than it was. I remember it being a lot cooler and a lot more special than it was. And going back and watching it, it kind of falls flat. Batman Returns, I like. I think I remember that one being a lot better than it was. Going back and watching it again after 89 and in the middle of all these other movies, it's just lacking. I like a lot of the art direction behind it, and I love Michelle Pfeiffer's performance in it. But for the most part, It ranks lower on my list. Batman Forever is 9. Batman and Robin is 10. 11 is Batman 66. And then, of course, rounding out the top 12 is Catwoman, which I wanted as a joke to put at number 1 and try to defend, but I just couldn't do it.
Oh, I wish. I fucking wish.
You guys don't understand. Benjamin Bratt was doing something nobody had ever done. Like,
you guys, I have never seen a street basketball sequence filmed quite like that.
So accurately.
Yeah. What a terrible, terrible movie.
All right, guys.
What was the name of that director? Like Vige Lazarson or something? What was it?
Wasn't it just like one word?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like Gadoosh.
Nick.
P-Lies.
P-Top. Yeah. P-I-T-O-F.
All right, we need a screen to change, Kevin.
Before
Kevin, come back, Kevin.
Before
Kevin,
we change the screen, everybody, let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. The holidays can be a stressful time, especially with things looking a little different this year. That's why our friends at MeUndies curated a list of the stuff your friends really want so you can soften the stress and win the holidays. I went MeUndies crazy over the last couple days, and I got new lounge pants, new lounge shorts, and oh man, the micromodal fabric is still doing me good now on even more parts of my body. Nick, did I buy MeUndies slippers?
I hope you did.
I did. So now I just have a ridiculous amount of MeUndies all over my body. It's very soft. I'm very happy about it. MeUndies has a great offer for you guys out there. Any first-time purchasers can get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. Shout out to the word caveat. Big fan of it. To get 15% off your first order and free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning to get 15% off your first order. Next up, shout out to Manscaped. You know, once you have those MeUndies, what are you going to put underneath them? Hopefully, a very trimmed bush. The holidays are here. Have you made your wish list yet? Our sponsor today has the number one wished for gift of the year. It's Manscaped, the best in men's below the belt grooming. Manscaped is here to ensure that you're taking care of your manhood and your nose hairs with the new performance package. Andy, I know you're always talking about your nose hairs, right?
I am, Tim.
Yeah, you can do something about that now with the Manscaped Perfect Package. It's the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, and it makes for the perfect gift. Imagine opening an attractive box that says your balls will thank you with the most sought-after gadgets and scents a person could find. You're going to look so cool this Christmas. You could do that, too, and you can also make someone else look cool. Gift one of your loved ones some Manscaped, baby. Get the performance package now to receive their two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. The performance package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer, and it's hot off the shelves. You can get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/morning. Thank you, Manscaped, for making our holes look sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
That's a thing someone wrote that you said.
manscaped.com/morning to get 20% off and free shipping. And finally, shout out to Blue Chew. Here's the deal. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity. Dark night rises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy, no awkwardness, and you don't have to leave the house. Right now, they've got a special deal for you guys. You can go to bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our promo code FUNNY. You just pay $5 shipping. That's BLUECHEW.com. Promo code FUNNY to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper choice. And we thank them for sponsoring this show. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you make this podcast possible. So thank you very much for all that. Please use promo code FUNNY at BlueChew.com. So now we're moving on to all of the podcasts of the podcast. Greg, do you want to hit? Yep. Here we go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rockin' Robin, a podcast within a podcast where we rank all the Batman in review Robins. Currently, the list looks like this. Number one, Robin and Batman Forever. Number two, Lois Griffin and Catwoman. Mm-hmm. Number three, Robin in the 66.
Lois Griffin.
Right, that's fine. That's fine. Alex Borstein, right? From Catwoman. Remember?
So we're just gonna put the Lego right. Robin as number one because
we have to put in Robin from Batman and Robin. We have to put in Robin from Lego Robin. Then we got to put in JGL. Then I think we're good, right? Does that make sense? Check my math.
JGL. Sounds right to me. He's more of a like Batman.
His name's fucking Robin. Also, are you aware that Lois Griffin is on the list, Kevin?
No. You're not understanding. I'm saying he should go low on the list. I'm giving my opinion about the list, Greg.
No, you're not. Now you're doing what I like to call backpedaling, and I appreciate it. Don't give up the point. Figure out a way to pivot. I love you.
See, I'm just going to stick with Kevin's point. I think he should be ranked high because what is Robin's function? Sidekick. What is Lois Griffin's function in this?
Sidekick.
I think that he did a really good job, all things considered, in Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, remember he kills that dude with a gun off a ricochet? Why did he have to kill
him? He made some mistakes. So because of that, I think that he goes high. I think he's better than anyone on this list so far. And
Let's do it chronologically. Robin, Batman, and Robin. All right, Tim. You shit in the bed when you canceled all of the podcasts within a podcast. Now you got to roll around in that shit and let Nick feed it to you.
Smell the shit. Feed the shit.
All right. So Robin from Batman and Robin. Is he better than Robin Batman Forever?
No.
No. He wasn't.
Is he better than Lois Griffin in Catwoman?
Fuck. Yes. Yes.
No. Hold on a second.
She was in a hospital the whole time.
Yeah, but she's the reason why she figured it out.
But she wanted to bang, remember?
Yeah, she wanted to get some. Get
hers. Yeah, she did. Okay, but like, no one's making an argument though. She wanted to bang, like, that's not an argument.
No. She was helpful. The whole reason that she found out it was the face creams, right? It was because she was like, I'm using these face creams and it's giving me headaches. Woo.
Yeah, but she was just a product of the, like, she wasn't one going, maybe the medicine. It was Halle Berry who did that.
Yeah, but it was the sidekick that
actually, was it even Halle Berry that did that, or she just stumbled into the meeting where they revealed that plan? I don't think anybody's like,
but Halle Berry like walked up to her and was like, you gotta throw this shit away, you gotta get this shit out of here.
Yeah, that's right. Andy,
how many great ideas have you had from something stupid that I've done? You know what I mean? Like, come
on. Oh my
on,
god, you are you admitting to be the sidekick?
Oh my god, I'm totally Andy's sidekick. Right, cool. Let me play
I mean, yeah, that's the role of the sidekick, Andy.
Okay, so it sounds like Robin's going from Batman to Robin's going number two for right now. Above Lois, below Robin from Batman Forever.
Are you doing this on the dock?
I am doing this on the dock.
Thank you.
Yeah. So then that question now we have, Michael Cera enter the picture. From Lego Batman.
Number one.
It's number one, man.
He's number one.
All right, excellent.
He's cute.
Yeah. It's
He does. He serves a purpose. He helps him both emotionally in the A plot or in the B plot and physically in the A plot. He's just
And most importantly, Nick, what does he say?
What I desire to be.
Which puts him at number one for me alone.
Quiet. That's just... Are you quiet? What I desire to be.
I don't like
And so then sir. You get to the big question of JGL. Now, so the argument has already been made that he's not a good Robin. He's a better Batman number two.
Yep.
And so then if he's his own character, how does that establish him on the Robin chart of Rock and Robin?
I say last Robin because he has to be on the list because obviously he's a Robin, but he goes last Robin because he doesn't live up to the
last
title.
Last Robin. Okay.
He figured out that they were putting explosives in the cement.
Too late, which
was
didn't even help.
Remember, it was a pivotal plot point that we did not need included in the film at all.
It was too late. Even when he figured it out.
Still better than the
he's
rest
number
of
two. Schlock. He looked cool. Ridiculous. He looked cool as shit backing up into a door with a shotgun. He looked awesome, dude.
Andy, do it for me.
Everyone
dude.
Looks
me
cool backing up. You see that? That looks really cool. Yeah, you just need a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's not an achievement, guys.
Shotguns.
Kevin, please start shipping munitions and arms to Andy's apartment, please. Thank you.
Andy, you want a shotgun?
How about an AR?
I get you. I got a friend with a shotgun.
JGL and DKR. Gets to be number two.
DKR.
Meaning that the final ranking for Rock and Robin is Michael Cera, Lego Batman at number one. Number two, JGL, DKR. Number three, Robin and Batman Forever. Number four, Robin and Batman and Robin. Number five, Lois Griffin and Catwoman. Number six, Robin in Batman 66. While we're here, I'd like to tell both MS Gambo in chat and J67 in chat, you're both banned. Where is Robin 66? I said at the top, he was at the bottom of the list. Wow. Now you both.
You want
banned.
Me to ban these kids or?
No, they know they've been banned, and now they just won't. Full-time they won't ever. Ban, yeah. If they're banned, if they're banned this way, they can keep subscribing. They'll just shut the fuck up and stop being crybabies in the chat about things they didn't hear because they were over there going, ooh, "Touch my pud," you know.
Ew,
oh, God, this sounds like it. Greg, this sounds like a good segue to another podcast within a podcast that we like to call Rock and Robin Suits.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rock and Robin Suits. This is the podcast within a podcast where we rank all the Robin suits from Batman in review. Currently, J67, the other guy, shut up and listen. The suits look like this. Number one, Barman and Robin suit. Number two, Batman and Robin ice suit. Number three, Batman Forever suits. Number four, Robin 66 suits. Number five, Lois Griffin's catawas. Remember, if it goes into the little note app, that's what it gets put to. Cato was.
That looks like a Star Wars name.
So easy. It's so easy just to go back in and fix it. You know, you could just do it.
Yeah.
Go back, Nick. When do I have time? All right. I'm not like you. I go from one show to another. I don't do one show and then get put on ice for a week, come back out and go, oh man, wiggity wiggity woo boo. Great work.
Nick be put on ice. All right,
so we need to add the Lego Batman. We need to add Dark Knight, Robin. And that's it.
Yeah, we're pretty good on this one. We actually did some work here. We got it all done. You know what I mean? Yeah. All right, so then start with Lego Batman. Where do we want to put Michael Cera's Lego Batman?
I mean, it's a tough one because Robin 66 is so low here.
And it's the exact same suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's be clear. In the Lego Batman, he is wearing a thong version of it.
Which makes it a lot higher for me because it's funny. It really is.
Tim, that's a minor.
That can't be funny?
A minor and a thong? I don't know. I guess we laugh at different things.
God see, damn. Kevin can't laugh at something he's turned on by.
Take that fucking God, victory nobody said sip that. Of water.
Nobody
take
said that.
Victory sip of water, Kevin.
Oh, shit. My headphones are going to die. I'll be right back.
I'll put it. I put it
this fucking show. it's like, again, what are we judging it off of, right? Where I think the Batman and Robin suit is cool. That's a cool suit, right, Andy?
I would argue that the Batman and Robin. Yeah, yeah. I would argue that the silver version of it is cooler.
I thought you hated the silver version.
No, not Robin's. Batman's.
That's why it's number two. That's why it's number two. And look at that. That is not cooler. Look at his silver dick.
That's not cooler.
That's not.
The original Batman, the first one he wore is the coolest by far.
Yeah, but the silver mask is so sick. Wait,
so
dude.
You guys talking about this one?
No. Yeah, that one's dope.
I mean, they're both dope.
That's pretty dope.
Already been put on at number three. You lost that back in the day.
Well, we can still move it around.
Nope. That's not how this works. Podcast. Rock and Robin suits is pretty
well
established.
It's a damn shame they never did this one. You know?
I know.
Yeah.
It's right there.
You know what?
Put that on.
I do put the Lego Batman one lower than I think.
I think it goes below Batman Forever above 66.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
So there you go. It's
sparkly, though.
Number four now, Michael Cera, Lego Batman. Now we have to decide where do we want to put JGL's costume in DKR, where he dresses as a cop.
Dead last.
No. At the end, he gets the Batman outfit at the end.
He doesn't put it on, though. And that would be the different thing. That'd be Rockin' Robin wears a Batman suit. Or I guess hey, that's if you want to,
if he's a Robin and he gets a suit, that technically is a Robin suit.
No, he never wore it. That doesn't count. Doesn't count. Mm.
Now, real quick, I want Nick to because I'm with him to an extent, but I do want him to be the one to explain why he puts JGL's dead last on the list, which would be under Lois Griffin.
Yeah.
Hospital smock. She was hilarious in it. She was hilarious.
Just. Listen, Lois Griffin has at least two costume changes, right? JGL is just in the cop outfit the entire time. Yeah.
He wears street clothes. He wears street clothes, guys.
I agree with Nick on this one.
Lois Griffin crushing it in that doctor's in the doctor's gown.
She bangs the doctor. Gown. She bangs the doctor.
And then
she
bangs the doctor.
She brings him home. They eat strawberries.
And then also, there's just a part of my brain, Tim, that goes, the suit comes up, right? It's in the plexiglass container. And he looks at it. And you know there was a good hour to an hour and a half where he's trying to figure out how to open that fucking case. You know, he's like, there's no buttons on it. And then he's got to figure out what the fucking password is for the computer and all that stuff. Yeah. And then he's got to figure out how it works. Maybe he's used to Mac and it's fucking Windows 10 or whatever professional. And he's like, what does professional mean? Is it worth the extra $40 when I buy the NZXT thing on the company credit card?
The final rankings for Rock and Robin suits are number one, Batman and Robin. Number two, Batman and Robin Ice. Number three, Batman Forever. Number four, Michael Cera and Lego Batman. Number five, Robin and Batman 66. Number six, Lois Griffin. Kato was JGL and DKR at number seven.
There. You got to understand, Nick, that Alicia Silverstone went to a really good college for the thing she went to the really good college for. And I believe it was like computer mechanics or something.
Computer engineering.
Just a, quantum mechanics. Just a general kind of like generic, like two words, put computer in there. She's obviously a genius. So when she sees a computer system, she's she's hacking away. JGL doesn't know shit. All right. He doesn't have that knowledge.
He's a beat cop, man. He knows the streets.
He knew to get into the bat cave, but for all we know, he's still stuck in there dead now.
Of course, couldn't figure
how does he get out, right?
That's like, we never got the sequel. They're just like, it's not that entertaining. So last week we did Ragu Bagu. We completed that list of the Rogues Gallery, the Ragu Roga, right? But now we need to go back in and we need to do Ragu Bat Guys.
Bad guys.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys, the podcast within a podcast within a podcast within a podcast here, where we rank all the Batman in review Batmans to find out who the best Batman of the Batman are. You know what I mean, Kevin? Yeah. Kevin, do me a solid, all right?
Here we go.
Rub your nose, turn to your left, and just fucking punch a hole in that wall. I want to see you fuck that wall up big time, all right? Number one on... bad guys. Oh, that was rad guys, bad guys. Number one is Bale in Begins. Number two is 89, Michael Keaton. Number three is Phantasms, Kevin Conroy. Number four is Batman Returns, Keaton. Number five is Batman Forever's Kilmer. Number six is 66, Adam West. Number seven is Batman and Robin's George Clooney. So we need to start with Christian Bale from The Dark Knight.
I'm going to go number two.
I agree with Tim. Go number two. I think Bale from Begins is still the Batman. He is the Bruce Wayne coming into his own. I think in this one, Batman or The Dark Knight, we get obviously more Joker than it. And you see, it's again what we talked about before. It's more of a Joker film than a Batman film in a lot of ways. And I think we don't see big strides from Bruce Wayne in this one.
I would put him at number two. I know it doesn't matter, but I just really, again, I hate that part where Katie Holmes walks up to him when he just gets out of the pool with the two models or whatever in that restaurant, and he's all soaking wet, and she's like, hey, Bruce, you're in town. He's like, Katie, this isn't me. like, it's so dumb, like,
stop
dude.
Stop calling me Wait, Katie. It's not the name of my character.
Dark Knight, where, so...
No, it begins.
Yes, but you said you'd put him at number two. So you're saying Dark Knight, you would put
begins
him
lower.
Yeah, I would put Begins at two. Yeah.
Well, Nick, what are you voting?
Just want that for the record. Yeah.
Mm. Well, you said it doesn't matter. Only me and Tim said we would put it below Begins.
It's tough because he has a lot of good Bruce Wayne moments. I would disagree with you guys. I think he's got a lot of good Bruce Wayne moments in Dark Knight, where like he's falling asleep at the boardroom and he's doing all those things that everyone's like he's a shiftless layabout, and then he's got those hype moments.
Oh, this is the one too where he drives the car to intercept that guy. Yeah, you're right. I would put him above that.
I think that's got to be number one. Yeah. Remember the guy's
like, top tier, man. They're both so good.
I agree.
I love that scene too, where he's like, "What?" He's like, "What? I was just trying to make the light."
And also, it's a good line. Also, I own the restaurant or whatever, where he like buys a table or whatever the hell.
I own the
Bolshoi. He points like this, and they put the tables together.
Remember, he fucks up the party too. They were gonna go to the watch.
Yeah,
the,
he goes to the ballet. Room.
Greg, yeah. How much better?
He's way better. He's way better in Dark Knight. My apologies, everybody.
Greg, how much better would life be if you could just go anywhere you were and someone had a problem with you and you just put a check in their pocket, like, "I'm buying this restaurant." You're like, "Sir, you do not have enough money.
Is this a restaurant?"
And also,
this is a Jimmy move. You work here.
Get back on that cutlass.
All right, so then Bale of Dark Knight takes over. So now what about Dark Knight Rises? Where do we want to put that?
Low, right? Because he goes totally lame Bruce Wayne. Recluse, right? That's not the right word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reclusive,
that's what I meant.
I still think that everything that Batman and Bruce Wayne do in the Dark Knight trilogy is leagues ahead of any of the other movies.
I don't know. I feel like Michael Keaton did a much better job walking around his house being like, "Oh, I'm rich."
There was that cool line though when Anne Hathaway robs him.
I'm adaptable.
And he's yeah, exactly. That's a cool line.
That's a cool line.
Nick, you got me good. Yeah.
That's what Mike.
I almost spit up my whole drink.
Bale said.
I put Dark Knight Rises Bale at number 5. Below Phantasm's Kevin Conroy, above Keaton's Batman Returns.
I like that. I like that.
I'll support that.
The motion passes. Bale. The Dark Knight Rises. Now Lego Batman. Where do you want to put Will Arnett's?
Oh,
low,
dude,
right? Batman. Super low.
See, the problem is this though. Obviously, it's a farcical take on the role, right? He's not trying to play it serious. He's just nailing the comedic beats of it. I would put him. I'll start the bidding right at number 4, underneath Michael Keaton.
I'd say number 3 above Michael Keaton.
No,
I would go number 3 above Michael Keaton.
No.
I'm going to second and put it below Michael Keaton, and that gets us the votes. We get him below it.
That's it.
I always say Kevin is the smartest of all of us.
Lego Batman goes in at number 4 now, below Michael Keaton, above Kevin Conroy. And then...
hard pass.
To close it out, right?
The little baby.
We need to rank Bruce Wayne. I'll let this guy put fingers in my mouth.
Yeah, you're right. Dead last.
Fuck, do we?
Kids don't act that way. Kids are dumb. They don't act that way.
Yeah, they do.
Some kids kid
do.
Puts they a, don't. Someone puts a phrase in my mouth. I bite. That's just what Tim, I. That's the default.
Tim, don't say it was the 80s, Nick. Don't say it was the 80s.
Tim, I want you to understand the 80s. In the 80s, go find those kids that were ding dong door ditching, and then put your fingers in their mouth and let me know how they react. They're gonna freeze with terror, and then one's gonna pee themselves.
But that's not what Bruce Wayne did.
He just stood there being like,
"Did you have Teresa for lunch?"
All right, then. Your final ranking of the Bat Guys goes number 1, Bale in The Dark Knight. Number 2, Bale in Begins. Number 3, 89's Michael Keaton. Number 4, Lego Batman. Number 5, Phantasm's Kevin Conroy. Number 6, Bale in The Dark Knight Rises. Number 7, Batman Returns Keaton. Number 8, Batman Forever's Kilmer. Number 9, 66 Adam West. Number 10, Batman and Robin, George Clooney. And then number 11, Joker's Bruce Wayne. Nick Scarpino.
Can we just because it's breaking my brain that some of these lists are more than, can we throw Lois Griffin at number 12 on this one too? Just throw her in there.
Technically, I think that would be the spot for Halle Berry.
Yeah, that would be a Halle Berry spot.
She's actually the main character, but there is, of course, a little segment we call Cat Scratch Fever.
Andy?
Get this theme song, Andy.
We can't sing that, guys, because again, it's Ted Nugent. Like,
I thought we figured something out though. Didn't you play it? You played it on your guitar once. Did we say that?
I did, but it's still. It's we could do a cat's in the cradle and a silver spoon. Little boy, little man, blue. Yeah, we can do that.
I don't know when, but we'll get together then.
We're gonna have a good time then.
Welcome to Catwoman in Review, Cat Scratch Fever, a podcast within a podcast within a podcast within a podcast, where we rank all the cat women we run into here on these mean streets of Gotham City. Meow. So far,
Cat Scratch Fever.
Good point. So far, the Cat Scratch Fever list looks like this. Number 1, Michelle Pfizer in Returns. Number 2, 66 Catwoman. Again, whatever autocorrects do. It autocorrects. I can't help it. That's what the phone does. So we now need to rank Halle Berry and Catwoman, and then Anne Hathaway as Catwoman.
I'd like to.
And Rosario Dawson? No. It was Lego Batman is wow, I'm blanking on her name. She's gonna be Catwoman in the
Zoe Kravitz.
Yes.
I say we put her dead last because I forgot she was even in that movie.
She said meow a lot.
Dead last.
No, I mean, even that, that was better than 66.
Yeah.
No, that need I remind you that 66 Catwoman is, of course, a Gotham's finest secret delight from Joey and Gia. So, like, clearly there's an audience for that. No one's like, you know what I love
that audience.
Fucking Zoe Kravitz saying meow.
Can we put Halle Berry in number 13? Because here's the thing. Eventually, we're going to get more Catwomen. And I just want to make sure that Halle Berry always stays at the bottom of that list.
Yeah, stick her back there.
Who's with me that Catwoman's better than 66 Catwoman?
No one is with you with that.
None.
No.
Wow.
Thank you, everybody, for being rational and reasonable.
Wow.
Tim, I advise you to go see a doctor, all right, and figure out what the fuck is wrong with you.
Tim, you're not right in the head. Go see a doctor.
It's not working up here. You know what I mean?
I'm still thinking about CG Halle Berry, like flying through dude's legs.
So where do you want to put Catwoman from Catwoman?
13.
Number two.
The bottom, like, yeah, the most bottom place.
She was way more fun to watch than 66 Catwoman or like Batman Catwoman.
I fucking hated her hair, dude. This is the haircut she got.
But I liked when she moved, and then she like licked things a lot.
You say number two, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
I backed him
above. Above Eartha Kitt.
It wasn't Eartha Kitt.
It wasn't Eartha Kitt.
Exactly.
Andy's nailing it.
This is crazy. This has to go last place.
What's your counter vote?
Last place.
You're voting last? Nick, what are you voting? Catwoman from Catwoman.
Oh, dead last. She's terrible.
Andy?
Dead last.
We have the votes.
Well, team seems like you guys have to go to the doctor now and get your heads examined, all right? I hate being the only rational one here with Tim, who's an admitted crazy person, but here I am. And then we got to put Anne Hathaway. Sir Anne Hathaway.
Oh, that's right.
Dead last.
First, right?
No, wait.
Come on, guys. She was phenomenal. Last.
I'm adaptable.
Yeah, she is adaptable. She figured it all out. You know what I mean? She's
now, here's the thing. I saw a lot of comments in my brain the other day when I was very hard on Anne Hathaway. I like Anne Hathaway. I like her as an actress.
You don't.
Like
you hate her.
I just watched The Intern the other day.
God. Oh, yeah. Her and Robert De Niro.
Yeah, she's great in that. That's a perfect role for her. I just did not like her interpretation of Catwoman. I thought it was way too on the nose. I thought it was way too heavy-handed with the switching back and forth. It just smacked
Michelle Pfeiffer killed it.
Michelle Pfeiffer. That's who Michelle she's Pfeiffer. Being compared to.
Yes, I think Michelle Pfeiffer did a better job. I mean, given the direction of the movie and the tone of the movie, I think Michelle Pfeiffer fits that tone. Catwoman, Anne Hathaway, I just feel like she was just a little too out there. She just needed to rein it in a little bit with her switching back and forth, and I just think it was too much.
Andy, kind of funny. Okay.
Nick, did you say I read a lot of comments in my brain the other day? What did you say?
Yeah. Nobody actually cared what my thought about Anne Hathaway, but I thought they should care, so I put a lot of comments in my brain.
That's what I thought I heard. Yeah.
Greg, what are you about to say?
I was gonna say I'll start the voting at number one. I put Anne Hathaway at number one on the list.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
You guys don't know.
Thank you. Glad that everyone voted correctly.
Ask Paula what she thinks.
No one wants to know what Paula's opinion about Anne Hathaway is. All right, we already know she doesn't like it. She is the worst bear.
Thank you.
All right, that puts Cat Scratch Fever to bed. It still has. Close to nine lives. Number one, Anne Hathaway. Dark Knight Rises. Number two, Michelle Pfeiffer returns. Number three, 66 Catwoman. Number four, Lego Batman. Number five, Catwoman. Similar to Paula.
All right, let's move on to Belle of the Batman.
Andy,
a psychologist, a woman who's a cat, Anne Hathaway too, who's the Belle of the Bat.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Belle of the Batman, not Secret Delights. This is a podcast within a podcast within a podcast where we... There it is, Kevin. There it is. Where we rank the love interests of the Batman cinematic universe here on In Review. Currently, your list looks like this. Number one, Katie Holmes in Returns. Number
you got to read that correctly, Greg. It's Katie Holmes. Capitalize the O.
Number two, Vicky in 1989. Number three, Andrea in Phantasm. Number four, Catwoman Returns. Number five, Benjamin Bratt / Tom Lone Long. Catwoman. Number six, Chase Meridian in Batman Forever. And number seven, the Russian Catwoman in 66. Where do we want
Tom Lone is the dumbest name ever. Tom Lone.
It's also amazing because he wasn't that much of a loner. He was very well liked. I think he did charitable work with children.
Well, it's just his name. It doesn't mean he's lonely.
It's just a name. Like, think of, like, you're a kid and it's like, oh, the guy in Mission Impossible, I want to be him. His name is Ethan Hunt. I want to be Tom Lone. It sucks. So dumb.
Where do we want to put Maggie Gyllenhaal from The Dark Knight?
I would put her underneath number two. Vale.
I'm with.
I feel like he never had. And this is no disrespect to Maggie Gyllenhaal, and obviously I know she came into the role after Katie couldn't do it, but I just feel like she didn't have a ton of chemistry with Bale or what's his name, Aaron Eckhart. I just feel like she was kind of weirdly, I just is kind of miscast in that role, and as the character itself, I don't know. I didn't love her that much, but.
Yeah, I like her. I like her in the film. I don't like her as a love interest either. So yeah. I would go with Nick and put her at number three underneath Vicky Vale.
I like her, and I'd put her at number two because I think that her additions to the plot are so key, and like what her relationship with Batman specifically in this movie of like what it does to him and what it does to Bruce, I think is so important and key to the character of Bruce Wayne in the Dark Knight trilogy.
Andy.
I'm definitely with Tim. I feel like Gyllenhaal's role is super important to that overall, just his overall vibe, right? Like Bruce Wayne's whole sort of personality kind of depends on that death or whatever, and it really fucks him up and kind of changes everything, right?
Like for the and better.
I don't know. I know a lot of people didn't like her performance. I thought she was fine. I didn't really have any issues with her.
I felt like
I would put her above Vicky Vale.
Kevin, you are the deciding vote to where Maggie Gyllenhaal goes, number two or number three.
Now, famously, I've said I never liked her in this role. I thought famously. That the character...
Famously.
What? I mean, in the show, in the context of the show, yeah.
Listen, right? All you the comments are, like, in my brain.
It's her in my brain.
I just thought that she was way, way too bold with someone that was, like, violently murdering people in front of everyone. Where it's like, this guy just killed a dude on TV.
Yeah, that's a good
like,
point.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no way you're going to be this tough around him. He's going to cut your mouth open. Anyways, yeah, I'd put it under Vicky.
All right. Maggie Gyllenhaal enters the fray at number three now on this thing.
Can you please stop correcting the typing? It types the way it types, you know what I mean? That was Maggie.
This is my one. There you go. Maggie Gyllenhaal, ha 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 ha, Dark Knight. Or Dark Knight. So now for Dark Knight Rises, though. We get interesting because we have Catwoman, but then we also have Talia, right? Because they bang.
Yeah. So both, yeah, we have to rank, they both, and they bring each other up or down together.
I think they bring each other down. I think, yeah, I think Anne Hathaway would have ranked higher because she's cool.
Absolutely.
And then fucking Talia al Ghul sucks.
Talia's dead.
And like they're really banging too, down. Came out of nowhere. Like, remember, we established they had just met like the day prior.
Yep.
And they.
Yeah, but there's chemistry.
There wasn't.
There's dude, they're in a tough spot. Things are going wacky. He lost his money.
Things are going wacky.
There's like candles and stuff.
I mean, this sucks. Like I would have pushed.
That's scary with candles. We're banging.
I would have pushed to have Anne Hathaway number one, but.
Okay.
Yeah, we're moving on for that, Nick. Let's not spend any time on there.
Okay. I put it under Andrea from Phantasm.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I don't. Well, you know what? I don't hate it, but I'll still put it beneath Catwoman Returns because I did like them on the couch. You know, the secret identities, the dueling, the mistletoe stuff. I did like the Batman, Catwoman, Bruce Wayne, Selina chemistry that was in Returns. So I'd put it below Catwoman in Batman Returns. So number
six. Yeah, that's so tough, man. Because I think Anne Hathaway kind of rules in this role. I love that back and forth.
You just split it up. Let's just do two.
When she's like, I'm peacing out. I love that part when she's like, I'm gonna leave, like, you know, you helping me doesn't do anything. I already fucked you over once, I'm gonna fuck you over again. And just seeing that internal struggle I thought was pretty damn good. But yeah, Talia al Ghul sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But she climbed that wall though.
She did.
Talia?
That's pretty cool. All
right, so
and then she did the kissing booth.
Let's do the old voting thing. Who thinks it's above Benjamin Bratt? Tom Lone. Everyone raises. No, Andy. Okay, everyone raises their hands. Who thinks Catwoman, Talia al Ghul from The Dark Knight Rises, is above Catwoman in Batman Returns? Negative. Andy, Kevin, and Tim have their hands up. They've stepped away. Who thinks The Dark Knight Rises is better than Phantasm's love interests? Just Andy and Kevin have their hands up, meaning that now underneath Andrea and the Phantasm goes Catwoman and Talia in Dark Knight Rises.
Rises.
Right. Lego Batman. You could, I mean, there's no love interest, right? We don't want to, yeah.
It's not included. So no...
Yeah, there is. Barbara Gordon?
Yeah, Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
Is it ever romantic?
Yeah. He could literally be. Like has Dreamweaver slow-mo moments about her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when she gets introduced, that never goes anywhere other than them being friends.
Well, maybe he respects her authority, Greg. Maybe he can respect her. Maybe you can love someone from far and just secretly watch them while they sleep, Greg.
Maybe.
Do you want to enter her? I don't think in this context it should be entered. There's no relationship.
I don't think so. I don't.
Why not?
I don't feel like there was.
What are you talking about? She's no relationship. Yes, there is.
Chase Meridian was going after Batman like he had food and she was hungry, you know?
Yeah, Chase Meridian is maybe like borderline criminal.
Borderline criminal.
It's under Catwoman. It's above Benjamin Bratt. It's under Returns.
I can't believe you treat Chase Meridian so poorly after I just explained how badly.
I feel like she's like she falls into the Robin, if there was a Batgirl category, you know
but
what I mean?
There was a Robin.
Mean, here's the thing. Let's put her in the Gordon whatever it is.
Ooh, hold on. I like this a lot.
That's where it fits a lot better.
Froggy with fries in the chat says Joker is the love interest in Lego Batman.
Oh, that's smart.
But he's not. He's not.
He was the Hayden
thing. Batman loves the girl.
I don't think he does.
Tim, that's a really binary way to view things.
Multiple scenes throughout this entire movie where he is literally having like heart eyes. If that's not a love interest, I don't know what the definition of love interest is. He has an interest in being in love with her.
It's a joke movie for kids. I mean, like, it shouldn't be on here at all.
It's a great movie.
Things for kids. Art. It's so annoying.
What do you mean? That's what it is. Like, humor is bad.
Kevin, they make, like, fart I loved jokes. It, and I'm a 47-year-old man. I'm not immature at all.
I go with Kevin and don't think she should be ranked. Andy, Nick, what do you vote?
I like the idea of Joker being the more love interest in there because they do have a bromance in there that is there, but I don't know. I mean, I see both. Tim, I do think that they were trying to angle toward that, but I just don't think that they kind of, I think they kind of dipped out of it, and she felt more familial toward the end of it than actual legitimate love interest.
I agree, but again, 19 years.
18 now. It's 2021.
18. Oh, wow.
It's not 2021.
I would put them below.
We can put her on the list and put her dead last.
But she's not dead last. There's no way she's under Russian Catwoman. I mean,
should her get off the pot? Like, vote. Should she be ranked? I vote she should not be ranked. Kevin,
vote
you vote?
She should not be ranked.
Nick?
I don't think she should either.
They just don't
Bam,
like
that's enough. That's enough.
Yeah. All right, cool then. Unranked and we're moving on then. And so now we get to Joker. Are we doing Zazie Beetz?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're not. Like,
then your final ranking for Belle of the Batman is number one, Katie Holmes in Begins. Number two, Vicki Vale in 1989. Number three, Maggie Gyllenhaal in Dark Knight. Number four, Andrea in Phantasm. Number five, Catwoman / Tally in Dark Knight Rises. Number six, Catwoman in Returns. Number seven, Benjamin Brant, Tom Lone / Long. Number eight, Chase Meridian in Forever. And number nine, Russian Catwoman in 66.
Well,
now
there it is.
It's time for Joker's Wild.
Hit the song, Andy.
Joker's Wild.
He's wild.
Joker's Wild.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Joker's Wild, where we rank the Jokers from the Batman in Review Cinematic Universe here on a podcast within a podcast within a podcast within a podcast within a podcast. Currently, we haven't touched this list in a long time. The list is number one, Jack Nicholson. Number two, Mark Hamill in Phantasm, which I do believe we start with The Dark Knight, Heath Ledger. Right number to the
one.
Top, right?
Yeah. Number one.
The most obvious thing ever.
Easy. He's
now, I would rather to keep Jack Nicholson at number two and put Joaquin Phoenix under
him. We're not there yet. You jumped ahead. All right.
I would put Zach Galifianakis number four.
Yeah, Joker from Lego Batman, I would do the exact same form.
There's no disrespect to Zach. I just feel like he didn't really bring a ton of Zachness to that. He kind of played it.
Yeah, very chill.
Which is weird.
Yeah. He could have had a lot of fun with
Zach Galifianakis. He could have. Normally, but I think they were just, I don't know. It's so weird because I was like, who is that boy? I couldn't place it. And then I was like, wait, that's Zach Galifianakis? I mean, you think Zach from like Hangover, where he's like, you know, lone wolf in it, or the three best friends that anyone could have. But yeah, sure. He just didn't distinguish himself.
And so now we are caught up to Joaquin Phoenix in Joker. Where does he go?
Number two.
No, I'd say I'd put him at number four.
Wow.
That's right.
I'd put him number three. But I could argue, but if it went to number two, I wouldn't hate it. I would just abstain from voting past that point.
That's the thing. That's where I struggle with it is I think Heath number one for sure. Number two, Jack Nicholson's Joker and Joker from Joker are just so different.
They're so right? different. All three of them are different, in my opinion.
What was that, Tim? You had a dunk on one. Them?
Well, just one's good and one's like
Tim,
super overrated.
The comments in my head right now are tearing you apart.
Mm-hmm. I would go number two.
Tim's not wrong, right? Like Heath Ledger from The Dark Knight and Joaquin Phoenix have a lot. They're a lot more three
different
characters. They're just a totally different level. Jack Nicholson played the character how you would expect a spectacle Joker to be, and I think for the time it was amazing. But I think a lot of these performances have been built off that his shoulders of being like, cool, that's like the surface level, Joker. How do we bring more dimensions to it? A great way of spelling Joaquin, though, bro. Just kind of gave up and started playing W.
Also, where's the Romero?
Yeah, I guess we never did him. We forgot about him. So where do you want to put him from the 66 Batman? Dead last.
No, yeah. Above Joker, right?
I'd put it above Lego Batman. I would put it above Lego Batman.
No, Lego Batman at least had like
the Romero is it's funny you're not like in love with this. Well, I guess that would be Jack Nicholson for you.
Well,
but like the Romero was
the role
like
so much he didn't even shave his fucking mustache for it. So how's that for commitment?
Did he actually hate the role? I think he liked it.
Nah, he just didn't care about it.
Your final run for Joker Wild then is number one, Heath Ledger. Number two, Joaquin Phoenix. Number three, Jack Nicholson. Number four, Mark Hamill. Number five, 66, Cesar Romero. And then number six, Zach Galifianakis, Lego Batman.
Awesome. All right, now I'm real excited for this one. Ragu Alf Alf.
Da 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 da.
Ragu. Alf Alf.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Within a Podcast Within a Podcast Within a Podcast Within a Podcast, where we rank all the Alfreds in the Batman Cinematic Universe here on In Review. Currently, your list looks like this. Number one, Batman Begins Alfred. Number two, Phantasms Alfred. Number three, Batman Forever's Alfred. Number four, 89 Michael Goff Alfred. Number five, Batman Returns Alfred. Number six, 66 Alfred. And then number seven, Batman and Robin Alfred. Where do we want to put the Alfred from The Dark Knight?
Oh, right. I mean, that's number one. Michael Caine, number all the other Alfreds
better
are
than
idiots.
He was in Begins.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
According
here's to the thing. Now, point, here's the thing I want to say.
At number one.
Just
don't worry about me, Ken.
Sorry about that. My bad. Okay. I mean, I said here's the thing first, you know?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
It's fine. I want to say Dark Knight Rises Alfred might be my favorite Alfred. With how serious he gets in the role. And I know he's only in like half of it, but like phenomenal, like certainly the best acting for any Alfred, right?
I'm with you, Kevin, to a certain extent, but I still, at the end of the day, I think that the Alfred would be below Dark Knight. Like Rises would be below Dark Knight, because I agree with like his stance of like, I'm fucking leaving. And he actually leaves.
Yeah.
I think is a really, really dope Alfred move. You actually really feel the emotion when he's crying and talking about it. It's like, that is a emotional gut punch we're getting from Alfred, you know, and seeing him at the end, that's a get hype moment. So for me, that one would be number two. But he's gone from too much.
How is that number two?
Because he's gone from too much of the movie. Like, there's just not enough stuff in Dark Knight, the first one.
Great in Dark Knight, yeah.
I love how he's there with him in the Batcave. Like, that Batcave feels like it's Alfred's cave, and I like that a lot. The white room thing.
And even the corresponding with and the waters receded.
Oh, Morgan.
Morgan Freeman. The corresponding with Lucius Fox and sort of getting on the same page as to what Bruce needs. I do agree with you, Tim. I think that like on an acting level, Michael Caine is really damn good in Dark Knight Rises. I just think his crying scenes are so impactful. But yeah, he's just missing for too much of it. I'm missing that. I was missing that Alfred touch. And in a way, kind of speaks a little bit higher of him because it's like he's not there and you really feel Mm-hmm. The sort of that missing hole that we need to fill.
Somebody holes.
Yeah, I was saying Rises should be number one, Alfred, with like the acting that he comes in and just fucking kills.
But everybody else says number two.
Including you, Greg?
Yep. I do.
Damn it.
I failed you.
We also have the Alfred from Joker. He should be dead last.
Oh my god. We have the Alfred from Lego Batman. Kevin, sit there and let me host the show. Figure out how to punch through the fucking wall.
Kevin, punch your wall.
Your instructions were fucking clear.
Punch
your it's not
wall.
Hard, but I don't want to do it. Snarf, snarf. All right.
Yeah, then I gotta fix the wall.
Where do we want to put Lego Batman's Alfred?
Actually, really high.
Yeah, I liked him.
I go number four.
I'd go three.
Who
I'd go
played
above.
Him?
Begins?
Phantasm.
What?
That would put him at number four.
Yeah, I loved the sort of just fatherly, deadpan sort of Alfred.
And he puts on the 66 suit at the end, right? And fights.
Mm. He does. Come on. That's fucking great.
So we're saying number four, everybody?
That's number four.
But beneath the Michael Caine trilogy.
I failed you.
And yeah, now where do we want to put Joker's Alfred?
Dead last.
That guy sucked. He has one job. It's to keep that mansion clean. Second job, make sure people don't stick fingers in Bruce Wayne's mouth. Yeah.
Thank you.
Damn.
Because here's the thing about Batman and Robin Alfred. Here's the thing about Batman and Robin Alfred. The dude was dying.
Yeah.
And it's a surprise to everybody that a man this old is sick. Because do you remember that scene where they're like,
yeah,
do you
Batman,
not know
yeah.
about him? He's sick. And everybody's like, what?
Like, no, Batman's on, like, is it
that
he's
hard
dying.
To believe?
He's got, like, what did he have, like Lippen's honors disease or something? What was the makeup made up thing that he had?
I don't know, dude.
It doesn't matter.
It did something. Right,
Joker Alfred goes dead last.
And there also, I think we should have given more points to the Batman Forever and Batman and Robin Batman. I'll tell you why. Because he had the ability to just make these suits without Lucius.
Andy, if you had that ability, would you, if it was like a Saturday, you're like, I got a Twitch stream later, but I got a couple hours to kill. Would you design yourself a suit and then have it 3D printed in the Batcave?
Oh my God, I would love to have that ability. Just like sickest thing that made me look buff and kind of like taller, you know?
You're just literally every time you're streaming something, you're just like this because it's so you can't even get your hands down.
So let's awesome. Rank some Batmobiles. Andy, hit the song.
Da 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 da.
Ragu.
Da 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 da. Da.
Batmobiles.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Batmobiles, the podcast within a podcast within a podcast within a podcast within a podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg, along with the rest of them. Oh, Andy Cortez already coming off the bench swinging.
But are these aren't like, we're not going levels deep within the podcast. These are all just a podcast within a podcast.
Oh, funny. Like, we're not Inception.
You can tell. This is, I don't want to ever besmirch anybody, but this is one of those things where you can tell who is a Twitch streamer and who's a professional podcaster. Yeah. Did I ever sign off any of the other podcasts I was doing, Andy? Did I ever say goodbye to the audience to close those other podcasts?
Within a podcast.
All right.
Wait, have we been doing the same podcast for 6 years?
Currently, the best Batmobiles look like this. Number one, Batmobile from 1989. Number two, the Batman Begins Batmobile. Number three, Phantasm's Batmobile. Number four, Batman Returns Batmobile. We didn't like the luge. Number five, Batman and Robin's Batmobile. Number six, the 66 Batmobile. And then number seven, the Batman Forever Batmobile, which Kevin Coelho said, I hate it. So, where do we want to put the Dark Knight Batmobile? Because this is, how do you want to, because this is where we get into it. Batman Begins currently is at number
it's
two.
The bike.
The Tumbler. Okay. Right. You want to
talk about we're talking about the bike for Dark Knight.
But isn't, right? I mean, it's this, there's an image up and it's the middle one. You can tell it's tighter and smaller a little bit, right?
Than which?
Than the camo one up top.
I think it's the exact same thing.
Oh, that's the bat.
No, the camo one on the right, which I guess might be from Dark Knight Rises.
Let's talk about the bike.
Let's talk about the bike. Everybody.
The bike's really fucking cool.
The bike is like, obviously, it's hard to categorize as an actual Batmobile because it's not a vehicle that like another person could fit inside.
Mobile.
But it's the coolest goddamn thing on the planet. Like, there's nothing cooler than especially when Dark Knight Rises takes advantage of the fact that they had that cool wheel spin once in Dark Knight, and they were like, let's do that five more times in this movie, and it's even better every time than the last. This is number one for me.
And there's also something to be said, too, for the fact that they kept the same sort of, like, I don't know. I always hated when they redesigned stuff in between films where they like tweak stuff. I was like, because who would do that? You already nailed it. Why would you go back and redesign this bike? So I just love that they kind of kept a lot of those through lines for the whole trilogy.
I like the bike a lot, and I would put it below Batman Begins. I think it's part of the Tumbler. I think it's an evolution of the Tumbler. I think it should go below the Tumbler, which I agree. Think is a cooler
Batmobile. Oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps again thinking about the underground chase scene where all the lights turn off and the guy's like, oh, you're in for a show tonight, kid. And
acting there was the weakest part of the, like, the.
Ranking acting. So when it comes to.
Jesus Christ, give me a fucking opinion, asshole.
You got angry.
When it comes to the Batmobile, I think that the Batman Begins version of the Tumbler does cooler things than the Tumbler does in Dark Knight, but the entire sequence of the Tumbler into the bike is so thrilling and so awesome. And I think that sequence is the best vehicle sequence we have in any of these movies. So I would go number one.
Wow.
The 89 one looks cool as fuck. Like that I don't think could ever be beat. But I think that in terms of what the function of this thing is, it's number one.
Think about all the tiny streets they drive on with the 89.
It's been made. Let's do it so we can keep going because there's a lot more Batmobiles here. So... who thinks we're just going to start at number two? Who thinks it's better than Batman Begins? Raise your hand. We're talking about the Tumbler bike combination. Everyone's hands, but my hand is down. Sorry, I'm just so everybody's hands except me and Nick are up. So then it becomes a race for number one. Who thinks it's better than the 89 Batmobile? Everyone's hand. Andy, Kevin, and Tim's hands are up. That means there's a new best Batmobile. It's the Tumbler bike combo.
Tumbler. Does it come in black?
Yes, Mr. Wayne.
So now, where do you want to go with Dark Knight Rises? Are we're including the Bat here?
Yeah,
I would
just
say the Bat. We rank the Bat because that's predominantly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, this shit's from the fucking future. It's just this crazy ass flying machine that takes an atomic bomb with autopilot off into the distance. Number one.
It also
right?
just seems, and this is no disrespect to like the Batmobile, it just seems a lot more functional if you're Batman to be able to like fly to places and 100%. Not deal with traffic.
I screwed up,
fact that it theoretically can carry the Bat bike, right?
I mean,
the underground scene that I wasn't talking about, that scene I was talking about, the Dark Knight Rises underground scene, the one that I fucking love the most, when he comes back out of his long 9 month break or however long it took. That's a sequence also, but Tim, you're right, I mean, that sequence is really, really awesome. I just fucked up. I had him mixed up. I was talking about Dark Knight Rises underground scene the whole time.
Could we just for a second talk about the one scene where he was like, they didn't show the scene, but he's standing on the Bat and he's just painting grease on the wall that he's going to light on fire. And he's just be like, and then I'm going to drop the bombs.
I like to think
it's
that
not gonna be big enough.
See, I like to think that he didn't do that. I like to think that he put a little squirter on the bottom of the Bat. Ew. And just like went this way, just squirted it out. You know what I mean?
Nobody saw it.
And the guys down on the bottom of the pond are not getting paid enough.
I feel like the like to go with my logic for what I was talking about with the bike combo in Dark Knight, I feel like the Bat doesn't live up to its full potential in Dark Knight Rises. It's very cool, it looks cool, and it functions really well. But in terms of the scenes that it's in, I don't like what's the most iconic thing it does, drag a bomb away. Like it just I don't know.
Tim, it saves Batman's life. Like, the character doesn't die because the ship can take the bomb away.
And also, it spurts out little stuff from its bat wiener onto...
I mean, I still think it's high. I just don't...
fire.
I don't think it's number one.
I mean, I would put it number one.
I would put the bike combo and the bat combo... I would put it... Man, it's honestly number one for me. And it really is just that bike... It really is that underground bike scene when Batman's back. He's back off his break. And people are all that one cop is super stoked to see him back. But then I also just love the first reveal of it, of like, oh, we got you cornered out,
great.
And it flies away like, holy shit! Like, you know, that scene was so awesome. Yeah. And then just him maneuvering through the building, and when he's trying to like pull up to get high enough with the bomb, And then the explosion, Nick, and they're like, it's happening, everybody get down. And it's like, so no, good. It's Batman. Like, Batman. Oh, dude, it's so good, dude.
Andy
it's
just
so
got good. Me. I was going to put it dead last. Let's put it at number one.
I would go number four under the Begins Tumblr.
I would put it above that.
As number one?
But below 89.
No.
I could do that.
It's a happy compromise. Because Andy gets his bike at number one. We get it top on the list.
Yeah.
All right. The bat goes in from the Dark Knight or Dark Knight Rises, number three. Now making it number one, Tumblr bike combo. Number two, Batmobile 89. Number three, the bat. Number four, Batman Begins. Number five, Phantasm. Number six, Batman Returns. Number seven, Batman and Robin. Number eight, 66 Batmobile. Number nine, Batman Forever. Now we have to figure out where Lego Batman's Batmobile goes.
Oh, that thing was cool. The what is it called? The Scrapper? Scrambler?
Oh, wait. Yeah, that thing is fucking awesome.
That thing is sick.
Sucked.
It looked so cool.
It was dumb. It's great. Think of it this way. It's sort of like a Batman's version of the Ecto-1. Does that make it better?
No. The Ecto-1 was all stupid shit climbing around being dumb.
So
being
dumb.
Being nothing like Batman.
I hated it. What a stupid movie it was. Made
Ecto-1, you'd put a family of six and drive to fucking Walt Disney World in.
Yeah, stupid you got me. Car. You fucking nailed me. Didn't you? Car, dude.
I go number two.
What was it called? The Scram? What was it called?
I'm trying to find it online. I can't find it.
Baron it was like Scrambler? Scrumbler, Tumbler, Dumbler. Like
no.
Scrambler.
No.
That's what I'm looking.
Scrumbler, Dumbler. Here we go.
Scuttler.
Scuttler. That sounds right.
Scuttler.
No, it was with a D, right?
I put the Scrum. I would vote for the Scrumbler, Dumbler to go below the 66 Batmobile at number nine.
God,
it's a stupid it's fucking
just,
name.
It, yeah, it's
the
just
name's
a little.
Not good.
It's a little bat, is what it is.
It's cool as ice, man. I would put
it's
it.
It's fucking mech bat suit. It's cool, really cool as hell.
Yeah, well, you could make a mech suit. You make it a, like any other shape, not a bat. It's bats it aren't above, known for their movements.
I put it above Phantasm Batmobile at number four. I'd put it number five.
I would put it at. I mean, you know my affinity for mechs.
You do like the Gundam,
but I would put it below the Phantasm Batmobile, even though that Batmobile doesn't do shit. It's just a classic animated Batmobile.
It looks fucking dope, really cool. Though.
But this one's like a big dog, and it like gets sad when it has to go away.
So this that makes it at number six. Scrumbler cool. Dumbler from Lego Batman goes beneath Phantasm's Batmobile and above Batman Returns. So your final rankings for the best Batmobile look like this. Number one, Tumblr Bike Combo from Dark Knight. Number two, Batmobile from 1989. Number three, the Bat from Dark Knight Rises. Number four, Batman Begins. Number five, Phantasm's Batmobile. Number six, Scrumbler Dumbler Lego Batman. Number seven, Batman Returns. We didn't like the luge. Number eight, Batman and Robin. Number nine, 66 Batmobile. Number 10, Batman Forever. I hate it, said Kevin.
We didn't like the luge.
Really, really excited for this one. I'm Gonzo for Gordo. Andy, hit the theme.
Greg, you just got to follow it up, all right? Gonzo, Gonzo for Gordo. I'm Gonzo, Gonzo for Gordo. Gonzo, Gonzo for Gordo. I'm Gonzo, Gonzo.
For Gordo. Hey, everybody. It's me, Greg Miller. Welcome to the podcast of the podcast of the podcast of the podcast of the podcast where we rank the Jim Gordons of the Batman in review universe. So far, the list looks like this. Number one, Gordons. Gary Oldman from Begins. Number two, 66 Gordon. And number three, the Burton Gordon. We just put all the Burton Gordons together because we're like, fuck it. We don't care.
Don't
I think by that ranking, we have to keep all the Gary Oldmans together so they stay at the number one without a fucking doubt. No change there. However, then we have coming off the bench Lego Batman's Jim Gordon, who retires like a coward, which I think makes him dead last.
Sure.
No, come on.
He's still better than the Burton one, man. The Burton
or
Gordon
the 66
sucked.
One.
Burn it up.
The Burton Gordon sucked. I agree.
Yeah,
but the Lego Batman 66, Gordon just
66
wasn't a character.
Was fun.
Unless you want to talk about Barbara Gordon, are we putting Barbara Gordon on this?
Well, we're going.
She's a Gordon.
Hey, that's actually a good point.
That's why it's
Gonzo for Gordo.
It should be Jim
you know?
Gordon. It should be Gordon. Just the
Gordons.
It is Gonzo for Gordo, after all. What about the little fucking son? What about the favorite son that Gary Oldman loves so much more than anybody else in his family?
That's right here.
Jim Gordon?
Because if this is Gary Oldman's list, his son's number one.
Number two. For Lego Batman, Jim Gordon / Barbara Gordon?
Mm-hmm. Number two, yeah, I'd say.
All right.
She was a good character. That was fun. Harvard for police.
Yeah.
What a funny joke.
I mean, now Kevin, that we've
Kevin has such a high level of comedy, everybody. Kevin fell asleep. Everybody knows Kevin to be the funniest guy, kind of funny.
I mean, Andy, you can have that opinion. That's fine.
Let me see. Andy, in the comments in my brain are actually pretty split on that one. So
you're a finalist? Yeah. For Gordo goes number one, Gary Oldman begins. Number two, Jim and Babs Gordo from Lego. Number three, 66 Gordon. And number four, Burton Gordon.
Gary Oldman. Because there's a space in between.
We're running out of podcasts within a podcast. You might be surprised. Thank God. It's time for Best Bat Suit.
Bad suit.
No.
Sorry. Do it again.
Nick, notes. You're supposed to have notes.
Welcome to Rad Guys Talk Bat Suits. Your podcast within a 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 podcast where we rank all the bat suits of the Batman in review universe. Currently, the list looks like this. Best bat suit. Number one is Phantasm. Number two is Batman Returns. Number three is Batman Begins because of the velour cape. Number four is Batman Forever Normal. Number five is 89 Batman. Number six is Batman and Robin. Number seven is Sonar Suit Batman Forever. Number eight is 66 Bat Suit. And number nine is Barman and Robin Ice. So now we need to start with Dark Knight. Bale 2.0.
It's a better suit?
Yeah.
So number one?
Where the hell is that? There's two above that suit.
I put it right underneath Batman Returns.
I'm trying to find the list too. Oh, it's really high, Andy. It's the third one on the dock.
Whoever's highlighted everything, can you please unhighlight everything? Thank you.
That's Greg. I think he's scratching them out.
You really want to go back to read Cat Scratch Fever, you fucking moron? Huh?
Oh, which one do we have left?
Punch the wall.
Dark Knight Rises is what we're talking about, Andy.
No, we're talking about Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. I think that I love that suit. I think his mouth hole is too small. It goes right underneath Batman Returns for me.
I love it. I love that he can move his neck, and that's something that he asked for, and it's a very meta kind of comment.
I have an issue with this, Andy, if I may.
You may.
He says, you'd like to be able to move your neck, and he's like, yeah, it would make backing out of the driveway really, really, you know, a lot easier. And they go, ha ha, let's have a nice laugh. Of course, the suit comes in black or whatever. Does he ever actually turn his head in any of these movies? I don't.
He turned his head right in the photo you're looking at.
Let me see. I don't see this photo. Where is it? I stopped watching the stream.
Bottom row, number two. There it is. Heads turned.
Ignore the last five.
No, he's turned his head like to a. I'm saying, like, can he look over his shoulder in this?
Can you look over his shoulder that way?
No.
Exactly.
He can't look over his shoulder. Wait, can I?
Yeah.
Look at that. I just saw him.
He can do that for sure, right, guys? He can do that.
He can't do that. I'm just saying the whole point of the suit was to like make it so that he can turn his head. He doesn't actually turn his head in it. I think it's a lie. I think we've been lied to our entire lives.
I think you're not focusing on him turning his head because it's even so natural because you're so used to seeing this all the time.
Yeah.
I think it looks cool. Again, one thing that I really loved about it was similar to the Begins suit. It has that sort of, it's a play on the yellow belt. And I love that it's that sort of toned down gold kind of copper brass texture. I think that's so cool. I don't know, it just looks super militarized, and I love that the head is separated from the neck, because the problem we ran into, you think of the cowl and it's super iconic, but then with Michael Keaton's, it was always just the top of his head started here and the bottom of it like ended at his shoulders, and it was just like too wide.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
So cool.
And I like the head being bigger than the neck.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
What do you think the photographer's direction was to Val Kilmer in that picture? Do you think they were like Val, have you seen that scene in Silence of the Lambs where he's dancing? Just go with that one.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I agree with Andy, and I would actually put this at number two beneath Phantasm above Returns. I think it's a really dope suit. I like how streamlined and thin it looks.
Yeah, I say number one, even though like I would say the animated suit is like the most iconic and the colors and all that stuff. But I think that this is such a dope, realistic take on it that I give it the bonus points to push it up to number one.
Same. It's number one for me.
Oh, it's number one for you now, Andy.
Yeah.
Okay. So then let's have the vote here. Kevin, do you have thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's my favorite suit.
Oh shit. Okay. Then there's no need then. It's number one. You guys have the three votes right there. My apologies.
Quick question. They don't change it between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises, right? It's the same suit.
I think so.
I mean, he's got a robot leg in there. I mean, I'm trying to do Googling.
Remember when he hits the wall and breaks it?
Yeah.
What's the suit? Fifth from the left on top right?
I don't know. Fifth from the left.
That's a real suit.
This one, right? Oh, you guys can't see the mouth. Second to last on the bottom there, right?
No, second, third from on the top. Third from last on the top. So go over one, two, three.
Oh, that's the sonar suit before it gets the sonar abilities.
What is it?
Oh, that's weird.
No, it's not.
That's not.
All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the bottom suit is.
I don't even know what the I'm not recognizing that suit. That's weird. Anyway, let's all look at Val Kilmer's armpits
again. Last suit is
what?
Second to last suit is Batman and Justice League.
Oh, yeah? It's a cool looking suit.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. We should rank that.
All right.
Tweedledee.
Batsuit. Yeah, you got to do Lego Batman. Where I just put Dark Knight Rises with Dark Knight, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Lego Batman suit is just the 89 Batman suit, so we can put that at number one.
With Lego form.
Yeah, I put it at number seven. Under 89.
That's fine.
I have no argument. Cool.
I'm down with that.
Getting a lot done today.
Do we want to put Joker's Batman his
last? I would put that over the ice suit because that shit really sucks.
Which way? What are we ranking?
It was so bad. Yeah.
Young Bruce Wayne.
That's not a Batman suit.
But the ice suit in lowest this Batman gripper. Suit. Is the Catwoman of the overall movie universe where it's like whatever if there's any costume you mentioned, the ice suit goes last regardless of what the costume is.
Yeah, but
about.
Like yeah. Young Bruce doesn't make any sense as it like that's he's not wearing a bat suit.
Kevin, the dishes are done, Kevin.
Dishes are done, so. Man. Done. If Andy says the dishes are done, I trust him.
Yeah.
And so there we go. That is the end of all of this. With the exception of, do you guys have any final secret delights that you wanted to throw out there?
Currently, Gotham's finest, aka Secret Delights list looks like this. Number six, Joey and Gia loved Catwoman's Russian costume and Adam West's small nipples. We loved the Prince soundtrack in 89. Tim loved the Penguin Army in Batman Returns. In Phantasm, Kevin loved the motorcycle designs. I loved the no. And Andy loved Alfred Stash. Batman Forever, Kevin and Andy loved Drew Barrymore. Batman and Robin head boobs were big for Gia and Joey. The gorilla dance was big for Kev. And then everybody loved the music by Klaus in Catwoman.
Dope.
It wasn't.
Well, it was dope that they made that decision.
Oh, in Batman Begins, Nick loved the ninja suits. And Andy loved Thomas's face at the time of death. The training montage resonated with Tim, and the humor with Tim was there as well. Eric Roberts was huge in Dark Knight for everybody. JGL and Catwoman. JGL period, and then Catwoman's ears for Tim, Andy's old cop reference in Dark Knight Rises.
Love the old cop.
Yeah, of course you do. The other villains were big in Lego Batman, including Michael Cera for Tim, and then I don't know what that note means. Runtime for Andy, and then Lee Gill's performance as Gary in the Joker was last week's secret delight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Lee Gill.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Good stuff.
Yes, those are the secret delights. And then to end this all, a little haiku and review.
Seven syllables in the middle. You'll need five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form. And I didn't expect one today, but Joe Mertens did a Batman in review, haiku in review. Most of these are schlock, but the highs are oh so high. And the fire rises. Thank you. Thank you for that. We can
fire rises.
And this, of course, we will return with Batman in review for The Batman, whenever that finally does happen. Exciting times. It's been a journey, boys. One of the longer franchises we've done. It's been a great time. There's been some ups. There's been some downs. But when you get knocked down, you got to get back up. Right, Nick?
Absolutely, Tim.
And what are we going to do starting this Thursday?
Oh my God, we are going to train everyone in the fine arts of karate with me, you, probably Andy, I think, and one Josh McCuga who shaved his head, and Kevin. And Josh shaved his head for this monumental start of Karate Kid.
Oh shit, he got like fleas or something.
Karate Kid in Review starts this Thursday, and it will be every Monday and Thursday for the rest of the year that we're making content, with the exception of the December 15th-ish area where we will do Nolan in Reviews, Tenet.
I am the man who will fight for Tim's honor.
Kevin, fade us out.
I don't have that technology. I don't have that technology. It's hard cut.
Human.